Thank you, Brother Chris. When we look at the scriptures, there are a few chapters, especially in the New Testament, that really strike us. They are concentrated on one subject. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We think of that as the love chapter, right? And when we think of hope, we think of the first epistle of the Thessalonians. And this chapter is unique in that way, too. It focuses us on the subject of faith. So this is the faith chapter. This is the only epistle that begins with the name of God. It is the only book of the Bible that begins with the name of God and ends with amen. And God is the one who is before all things, and his will be accomplished completely. The people that were being written to were of a Jewish background, and there was a concern for them that they would go back into Judaism. And so Christ is presented through the entire letter as superior in every way. And there's doctrine that's given for this particular issue in many facets. For example, in the first chapter or so, it deals with the fact that Christ is superior than the angelic beings, having a greater name, and where he is now, seated at the majesty, at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ's priesthood is greater. It's eternal. Christ's offering is greater. It's permanent. It doesn't have to be repeated, and so forth. Then we come to chapter 10 and about verse 19. We go from the doctrine now to the application, the actual practical result of knowing these things. And there's the strong warning at the end of chapter 10 to those who may possibly become apostate by giving up Christ and going back to Judaism. They had given a profession of faith. But what was it genuine? That is the question. And so the concern. But I want to point you to verse 38 of chapter 10 just for a minute. Now the just shall live by faith. This passage is quoted in three letters in the New Testament. And I'll just give them quickly to you. The just, Romans, shall live, Galatians, by faith, Hebrews. That is where the emphasis is on Hebrews, the by faith. So we have that verse quoted three times and emphasized in different aspects in those three letters. We come to what we read this morning, and we're going to see several examples. Now, this division that we've gotten for our study doesn't really fit. We've tried to fit it so that we can spend enough time. But there's basically a section in this chapter that deals with the patriarchs, the book of Genesis. And those examples are taken up in our first study and part of our second study. These examples show us that faith was there in the very beginning. It is the only basis from the beginning of Adam and Eve and Abel. It is the only basis to be received by God, to be accepted by him. Works have no place. And these are brought out in these examples. We will also study the further on with Moses, and then some in the book of Judges, and finally names that are mentioned like David and Solomon in the time of the kings. And then some other things that will come up. Before, we're pointed ultimately to Christ. And that's where we were heading. Beloved, as we begin, just keep in mind our vision is heading towards the supreme example, the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 12. These are our clouds of witnesses. They're called elders. At the first verse of this epistle, they're called the fathers. So they have a connection with Israel. And they have this link with the Hebrews. These elders got a good report. And this chapter begins with a good report, and it ends with a good report, right? There is a temptation for us, as we study this well-known portion, to really dwell a lot in the first few verses or on the first three examples. It is our intent to not do that the whole morning. We definitely want to get to Abraham and Sarah. We definitely want to get there. And so there will be a definite moment when we will transition in our study. And when we do that, beloved, let us use some self-control. Let's not, we don't want to go back, but we're going to move into Abraham finally. He is the highlight of this section that we're studying in the first study. But of course, we need the other before him to pave the way. And I would encourage us as we consider the description here of faith and what it meant and what it means even now. And then as we get into Abel. So may the Lord help us in our study.
At the beginning passage of this chapter in brief to link us into some of these examples, you might just think of the common human expression, never say never. People use that, right? Never say never. Well, there is in this chapter a time when God says never, and it shows how significant this chapter is. It's in verse 6. Without faith, we will never, ever please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so, if we are going to have the desire of pleasing God, this chapter is so significant for us to understand how people lived by faith so that God could be pleased, God could be honored in their lives here on earth. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Another thing that you often hear, actually it was kind of popularized in one of the old-time Christmas movies. Somebody said to another character in the movie, faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to. That is a terrible definition of faith. That is not what Bible faith is. It's not believing something when common sense tells you not to. Faith, what faith does is it accepts the circumstances and interprets them as if God can be trusted. It interprets them as if God can be trusted. That's what it means, that it gives substance to the things that are hoped for. It gives evidence to the things that are not seen, because we have come to know the God who can be trusted. So when we act as if he can be trusted, then we live by faith and we take up his principles and his guidelines and his word as something authoritative. And there may be other introductory comments, but just to show how this applies to Abel then. Abel offered to God an excellent sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How is that an example of faith, and what can we learn from it for ourselves? How does that fit what we're saying about the value and impact of living by faith? And just before speaking about Abel, maybe we can say too, this chapter is emphasizing daily faith, not saving faith. Although, of course, we are saved by faith also. But this chapter primarily shows us people who were living by faith, who allowed faith to sustain them all the way through, as we heard in the introduction, not to draw back, but to believe. Verse 39 has the word believe, which is of the previous chapter, which is the word for faith. So Abel, what did he do? We don't read of him by faith offering a sacrifice in Genesis. What he did was he was attentive to what God had done when sin came into the world. God had clothed Adam and Eve with animal skins. And so by faith, Abel understood that that is the way you approach God, on the basis of a sacrifice. And so by faith, he offered this more excellent sacrifice. When we want to live by faith, there is much more to be said, of course, in many of these points. But when we want to live by faith, we look at what God has said about himself. We look at what God has done to reveal himself. And we believe that that is the way to order our lives, to organize our responses to life. And then We are living by faith, and we will be able to please him.